So good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning. It was a great drive up here. I just love the country. My wife made me move to the city many years ago, but I grew up in the country and I'm kind of a country guy. So it's a privilege to come up here. If you could hit my first slide. I'm going to start off with a story. There was this king, and he lived in this great land, and he didn't have any sons, and he wanted, as he was getting older in life, he wanted someone to pass on his kingship to. So he decided to have a contest, and he wanted his son to have courage, to be a man of action, and have no fear at all. So he decided this contest. He had this great big pool in front of his palace, and he filled it with crocodiles. And he had this contest where if you could swim from one side of the pool to the other, then he would become his son, the heir to the throne of all his kingdom. Well, the first year they had the contest, one man jumped in, but it didn't go too well. I don't want to get into the details about it, but he didn't make it. So a few years, each year came up, no one else wanted to go in and try it. So then after the third year, you know, everybody was standing around and the whole kingdom would come out and watch to see. It was one special day where we'd have this contest. And everybody was watching the pool, and all of a sudden they heard a splash. And they looked, and sure enough, there's a guy in the pool. And the crocodiles were after him. But for his fortune, he started swimming. And he decided, it looked like he wanted to turn around, but a crocodile cut him off, so he said he better continue. And he kept swimming. And this other crocodile came up, but another one grabbed the other crocodile, and it didn't get him. And he somehow weaved his way across the other side and got out of the other side. He had made it. He had won the contest. And the king comes up to him and says, "My son, what do you want in this kingdom? I will grant you anything." And this guy says, "What I want is, I want that guy that pushed me into the pool." I heard this story back in 1985. I had just graduated college, and I had moved to Maryland. I got employment in this town called Frederick, Maryland. And I was down there, and I was not a Christian. And I had an uncle. He was a very successful businessman in my town, very disciplinarian, and he was very harsh. But he had found the Lord late in his life, and he had completely changed. He wasn't a guy as a kid that you wanted to be around. He made you uncomfortable. Like when I'd go to eat, I felt like I had to do everything right at the table, because if you didn't, he would yell at you, and it times he would actually hit some of his kids if they didn't do things right. But he found the Lord and he completely changed. And he started calling me. And then there was Christians at the work where I was working. There was people that knew the Lord. And one of them invited me to go to a Billy Graham crusade down in Washington, D.C. And I heard that story. And I didn't know what was going to happen at the event. But there was something about that story that Billy Graham started his sermon off that kind of broke me and opened me up. And I was kind of difficult. I still didn't even go forward after his sermon, but it did move me. And by God's grace, the next day, my uncle called me and said, "Randy, do you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" And I said, "Yes." And that's when my faith started. If you can give me the next slide. even though I was hardened, my faith started to grow from that point on. I want to talk today about this one man in the Bible and it's one story that has meant a lot in my life. It's a story of Daniel. And if you read the Old Testament, faith in Yahweh started with Abraham, back in Genesis. And the Lord had said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you." And when Abraham obeyed God and left his land, God was with him. And in fact, Abraham wasn't perfect at times in his relationship. He sinned, he fell away, but he never gave up. He kept going forward with God. And in the end, God called him his friend. However, the faith of Israel was attacked throughout the years. There was times of good. There was times of, trial. And when we get to the story of Daniel, this, I think, is the most critical time in the history of people that worship God. Because the Babylonians come into Judea and they conquer Jerusalem. They lay siege to it. They go in, go into the temple and remove all the things, all the articles, especially the golden stuff in the temple, and cart it off to Babylon. And the Babylonians, they were conquerors, not as severe as the Assyrians. The Assyrians, you didn't want to be conquered by them. They were a cruel conqueror. And the Babylonians' style was, they went in and they took the best out of the land, the future leaders, and they took them to Babylon to retrain them, to be used, for Babylon, to learn about their ways and to become Babylonians. And if they do that, they would be prosperous in the new land. And that's where we find Daniel. He was a young man, they think around, maybe 13 or 14. He was of the ruling class in Judea, probably being groomed and educated to be the next leaders of the nation. But his nation had fallen away from their faith in God. They had kings that didn't believe in God or trust in God. And in fact, the reason why the Babylonians came in is because they were starting to get prideful. They thought, hey, we're tired of paying taxes to the Babylonians in tribute for this king. Let's team up with Egypt. And then we can get rid of them and go back to being a nation by ourselves. Even though they had a prophet telling them, don't do that. Don't do that. They didn't want to listen. So we come to Daniel, and his nation's overthrown. Probably the family he was living with is broken up. Maybe some members killed. And he's carted off hundreds of miles away from his hometown. So he had a lot of loss. But the one thing he didn't lose was his faith in his God. That was key. But the attacks now come very subtly. Daniel being in the new land of Babylon, he was chosen to be trained for the king's service. And being trained for the king had a lot of privileges. The king would protect you. The king would give you food. If you can go to the next slide. He would eat from the king's table. And Babylonians at the time, they were the ruling force in the world. They had all the stuff. But we come to this one point of crucial decision for Daniel to make. is he going to go along with the Babylonians? And the first test was on food. You can look up there is a steak and a lobster. The steak the Jewish people probably could have eaten, but not the lobster. So I want to turn to, if you want to turn in your Bibles, chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God has caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." So if you go to the next slide. Daniel convinces this guard, who's in charge of him and his friends and their care, to let them eat vegetables and water instead of the king's food. So he turns away the food that he knows that he's not allowed to eat because of his faith in Yahweh, and convinces the guard, give us vegetables and water. Test us for 10 days. And then check back with us and see, you know, how we're doing. Now, Daniel must have been a very convincing young man. He must have spoke with great wisdom and tact. And he convinced the guard to do this. Even though the guard knew that if things didn't go well, you know, his head was on the line. And Daniel wins this battle. His first test of faith. Because the guard sees that Daniel and his friends are prospering over the other people that are training up for the king. And he decides that Daniel's way, which is really God's way, is better than the king's way. And he switches everyone off to broccoli and water. And you can't have the steak and the lobster. Daniel made it, his faith was critical to who he was. A lot of us would have said, "Oh, just go along with it. You know, eat the food. Don't make waves. You know, there's other times you can still, you know, pray to your God and serve him." But to Daniel, you are what you eat. He did not even want to compromise on in the smallest of detail in his walk. It was critical to his faith and to his heart. What about us today? We live here in the United States. Is our faith constantly being attacked? I think Babylon was very similar to the United States. It was said back then that it was an extremely wealthy society, that everyone wanted to deal with the Babylonians, because that's where all the wealth was in the world. That's where all the money was to be made. I think that's how a lot of the world views the United States. We have a lot of stuff. We use a lot of stuff. There's extreme prosperity in this whole country. What are some of the things that we value? I think there's a lot that tries to erode against our faith and our God, Jesus. I'm just going to talk about a few of them. If you can hit the first slide. One of the things that Americans value. Oh, the other way. We don't value crocodiles. It's self-reliance. You know, like this guy. You know, in the middle of a flood, you know, he made a dam around his house and his property. He did it all by himself. Doesn't need any help. We like to be in control. Americans were self-starters. You know, we like to make our own way, make our own destiny. We go to school, we get educated. We learn a trade. We can do a lot of things, and not these are all bad. But there's a time where we start putting trust in these and not God. The other thing that Americans value, the next slide, is action. We like action. We don't like to be idle. We like work. Growing up, my dad, he worked as a tool maker, and he worked 6 days a week. Really 5.5, like 55 hours. He did that for like over 20 years. It was a very, very detailed, very regimented, and hard work was ingrained with him, and he ingrained it in me. And it's not all bad. You know, these are good things. But there's times where we view as action have to do something, where God would have us do something else. The next slide. As Americans, we also like time and efficiency. We like the multitask. You know, just go on the road. How many people are driving, doing their hair, talking on their cell phone, and having a bite to eat all at the same time? Since my wife had me move to the New York City area, and my job, I actually drive a lot around the city, I see this happen all the time. You know, there's cars always like kind of drifting, moving, and it's always someone's either texting, calling on the phone. And I tell you, when that phone rings, I want to grab it too. And at times I do. And I'll look at it and I'm driving and I try to do the different things. We like to be busy. We like to save time. We like to keep things moving. It frustrates us when things aren't efficient. You ever go into a fast food that's not fast food? You know, it's kind of frustrating. You'll go into a McDonald's or Burger King and you're standing there and nothing's happening. And you're thinking, why did I stop here? This is fast food. It's supposed to, you know, come right out, be hot, ready, and then I can go. Other things we like as Americans, we like competition and opportunity. We like directness. We're very direct people. I found this off when our church, we went to Israel. And we were in the old city of Jerusalem. And there was a t-shirt that I wanted to buy. And I started negotiating. Yeah. Over there, they want you to barter and negotiate with the buyers. You know, they're selling it. I went right to the bottom line. Hey, I saw that t-shirt up the way for $6. I'll take it for $6, not $12. I went right to the bottom line. It wasn't a good thing. That person, like, basically threw me out of his shop. Where my sister-in-law, who was more studied in Middle Eastern culture, would first say, oh, that's a wonderful t-shirt. Look at the thread count in it. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. I see it's $12, but, you know, maybe, do you think you could, you know, find it in your goodness to maybe give it for $9? Much better way. They would talk to him. They'd listen to him. Me, I was bang, right to the bottom. I'm an engineer, so it's not in my, I guess, nature. Other things that Americans like, you know, we like stuff. We like money. We like you know, scientific logic, and we also like entertainment. All these values, you know, they're constantly beat into us. Some of it, you know, comes from our families. Some of it's from the media. You know, it's just in the communities we live. But at times, it is in conflict, you know, with serving Christ and our faith in Christ. If you can go to the next slide. Instead of action, I think sometimes God wants us to do this. Be still and know that I am God. Slow down. Actually, some of the best times I had as a believer where my faith increased the most is when I get sick and when I can't move and you get knocked down and you can't do much. That's when I meditate and seek his presence. We kind of saw that Mamaroneck is very close to the water, and when Hurricane Sandy hit last October, pretty much half our town lost power. We unfortunately did not. We had power. And watching the news and everything, it was just so aggravating after a while that, you know, I couldn't even watch it anymore. But the good thing that happened in that is we had a lot of neighbors come to our house. And my brother-in-law and sister-in-law stayed for 2 weeks. We had friends of my daughters would come every night with their grandfather because he was starting to get cold. He was almost 90. And they would come to our house and hang out. They would watch the television. We'd say, go ahead, we're tired of it. It kind of slowed everything down. We need to remember to do that. There's so many things in this world that want to fill your time in. You know, these smartphones, the internet, television. There's all sorts of things that we can fill the radio every inch of time with. God's saying, hey, what about me? Just sit here in my presence. Get to know me. You can go to the next one. This is an action plan, faith-based prayer. I know there was a lot of times, I remember when we got our first house and there was some wiring that needed to be done. We had aluminum wiring, which wasn't the best thing. And I had this idea, I'm going to go in and I'm going to rip everything out and start over. And my wife, the Holy Spirit says, did you pray? And he says, don't do it. Wait. Slow down. There was also a woman, she went to be there with the Lord a couple of years ago, but she was a great prayer warrior for our church. It was my brother-in-law's mom. And she would just pray constantly. But as she got older, she couldn't do things, you know, physically anymore. Like we'd have her over for holidays and everything, or special events with the church, and she'd always say, Randy, what can I bring? And she had like congestive heart failure. She had asthma. She had bad allergies. She could barely stand up, and she wanted to do something. I said, oh, Fran, just come. Just come. He said, no, I got to do something. How about the banana pudding that you like? Let me make that for you. I was like, Fran, you just, just can't. It was ingrained in her to always do something. But I would say, Fran, can you pray for me? He says, oh yeah, I'll do that. I do that all the time. But I want to do something else. But we really appreciated her prayers. You can go to the last one. One of the key to growing and keeping our faith is to be dependent on God. Daniel, after he got through his first test, he came to a test that no matter how gifted he was, and he was very gifted, I mean, he must have been a convincing speaker, had great wisdom, but he came to a test that he couldn't pass. That's when the king of Babylon had a dream. And in this dream, it really disturbed the king, Nebuchadnezzar. And he called the wise men to come to interpret it. And the wise men said, "Tell us your dream, and we'll give you the interpretation." The king of Babylon says, "No, I want to make sure that this is right. So I want you to tell me what the dream is, and then tell me the interpretation." The wise men said, "Hey, you know, it doesn't work that way. You got to tell us the dream, and then we'll tell you the meaning." Well, that made the king upset, and he decided, "That's it. I've had enough with these wise men. Kill them all. Kill them all." And as the guard came to Daniel's house, Daniel was able to convince him, "Give us one more day. Give us one more day. We'll come and tell the king his dream." And this is what it said. "Then Daniel returned to his house and explained to the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Meshach, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends may not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision." Daniel came to a test that the only way that he could pass it was to get an answer back from God, to be in his presence and hear from God speak into his mind through a vision. Ultimately, when we look at our lives, we're dependent on God for everything. We all come to a test where the only thing that will save us is our faith in Jesus Christ. We all come to the day where we'll breathe our last, our heart will stop beating, and we'll take our last breath. And the only thing that will save us is our faith in Christ. Will be totally dependent upon God. Because faith is key. It is so important in our lives that a lot of times it doesn't change the way we act in this world, and it needs to. We need to have the faith in Christ guide us in each decision, each moment of our lives. The theme of Daniel, the whole book of Daniel, is that God overcomes. Even though Israel was conquered, The whole theme of the book is victory. God's victory. God can overcome the king of Babylon. God can overcome the world. I had to learn this in my life. There was a time in my life growing up that the values that were taught to me were still in me. And they're in all of us, how we're raised. And I valued, and our family valued, success. Getting a good job, keeping a good job, having a good career. And there was a time in my life where I had just moved from one job to another. Because the job I was in, it was looking like I was going to get laid off for various reasons. So I moved to a different company. And I really wasn't mentally ready to do that. And when I got to this new company, I wasn't doing very good. I wasn't ready. The management was very severe. They were harsh. And I was having a very difficult time. I was actually probably depressed. I couldn't, and I was going deeper into probably a mental shutdown. And I couldn't function even at work. And I had great stress just being at home, having trouble sleeping, everything. And my wife knew I was in trouble. And there was one day, the night before, I read this story about the dream in Daniel. And I was driving to work. I had about a 45-minute commute. And as I was driving there, God's wisdom just started pounding my head about our faith in our God. It's so crucial. It started permeating my whole being of understanding that faith is more important than everything. It's more important than success at work. It's more important than having stuff. It's more important to being perceived a certain way. And then I felt his presence come into my car. And there was just such love and joy that I will never forget that moment. And when I got to work, I was free. Nothing could hold me down. I was floating above the people. And when I got home, I told my wife. And she said, "I knew you were in trouble." And she picked up the phone call as I was driving to work to call another church friend. And they were on the phone praying for me as I was driving to work. I'll never forget that moment that God really said, "I'm it. There's nothing better than me. Everything else doesn't matter." And the story of Daniel, I was actually teaching it at our church. So I had a good message that Sunday school. That faith is more important than everything. If you can turn to the last slide. So things to remember today. We have different values that have been ingrained in us, you know, as we are raised in our culture and our communities. Don't rely on yourself. Depend upon God. Seek his presence. Slow down. Spend some time with him. Just thinking of him. Stay in contact with him. Pray. Put it ahead of doing something. And ultimately, just remember that your faith in him is more important than everything. It's the pinnacle. There's nothing greater. That relationship between you and him and Christ is more important than anything. Take actions in your life to make sure that that stays at the top. It's the only thing that endures. Everything else falls away. It doesn't make it through the test of time. It's only your faith in Christ that's forever. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went out and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for pearls. When he found one of great values, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. That precious pearl is your faith in Christ. Buy it if you don't have it. Never lose it. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters today. Help us to put at the top of our minds and our consciousness that knowing you and keeping that relationship strong is more important than anything we do in life. Let it be our guide, our strength, our values. Let that value dictate the other values in our life. Lord, I pray for anyone here today that needs an extra touch of your presence. Yeah, there's at times, Lord, we lose our way, Lord. We lose our focus. We're looking around at all the stuff that's going on in our lives. And we get distracted and forget about you. And you're gently tugging at our hearts and minds to come back and to seek you out so that you could fill us with your strength and your joy to overcome. You gave Daniel that strength to overcome several kingdoms, Lord. The Babylonians, the Medes and the Persians, and everyone else, and even the lion's den at his old age. He totally depended upon you. Let us that be a light for all of us, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.